Morning, church. Welcome to Sunday service. We are still online, and I'm thankful to have the privilege to step into your homes as I share just the Lord's heart with our congregation this morning. We're busy with the Holy Spirit series. Last week, I was blessed out of my socks by Pietri's message, and as he rightfully led us through the Word and shared how both the spirit of adoption and the spirit of revelation helped him to authentically and honestly worship God daily. And so I really hope you caught up on that and that we can live that out. And so today we're moving on and we're still busy and we're hovering over the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're trusting that the Lord will just again teach us, lead us, and equip us in a tough time. Maybe a bit of a dark season for many people across the world. And so it's a time where we need the Helper. It's a time where we need the Holy Spirit. And it's also a time that we can grow in trust, knowledge, and then the real know of the person of the Holy Spirit. And so won't you join me this morning and invite the Holy Spirit afresh into your life and trust that we will learn together and grow together and be empowered today together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for just your grace, for doing life and doing life together, for community, for church, and for a sacred moment like today. Lord, I pray that man's faith will definitely not be based on my words, but your Holy Spirit and power. I pray that the word will come, Lord, and cut where it needs to cut, divide where it needs to divide, and that the Holy Spirit will come mightily in every heart that listens to this message, Lord. I pray, Father God, for fresh revelation. I pray for fresh understanding. We pray for fresh conviction. And we pray for change in Jesus' name. Again, Lord, not by might nor by power, but by the person of the Holy Spirit, the one that is in our midst, in our lives, Emmanuel, God with us. So have your way, Lord. Have your way in this message, have your way in our church community, and have your way to every single listener that says yes in their heart to Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Yeah, I already just sense the Lord's presence, and I'm thankful even being in an upgraded studio today. I'm in our home, and welcome to my home, and thank you that I can be in yours. Now, the last time I shared, we briefly stood still in John 4, where Jesus meets up with a Samaritan woman, and he then has this beautiful conversation with her, and afterwards, and in the midst of that, in fact, goes deep into her heart and just speaks into her life, where maybe she was in a state of being dry and needy and seek that in relationships to be satisfied, fulfilled, and content, but yet didn't find it. And so he goes right in there and say to her that he is the one that gives living waters. And so we are daily faced with many options and many things that we can drink from and eat from, spiritually speaking, but yet they don't satisfy, they don't fulfill. And I hope that you've been journeying with the Holy Spirit and making sure that you walk in a place of contentment in life, that you not only live, but that you really are alive. And so I want to challenge all of us today again. Are you really alive? Are you really living? And so we said to one another in the Greek and the New Testament, there's three definitions, in fact, for life. Firstly, it's the bios. It's just the natural life that we see all over, that we see in nature and we see in our bodies. Then there's the psyche, or the psyche, the psychological life, which is your mind, will, and emotions, your soul man. And then you have what we call the Zoe, or the Zoe life, which is a God-like life, which is from God and only from God. It is divine life that is eternal. And that is the one that we yearn for. That is the one that we need to chase after. That is the one that we need to drink from and eat from, connect with daily, to be a people that are satisfied, fulfilled, and content. If you really want to know who you are, you need to be led by Zoe life. If you really want to know what you called for and why you are here, It is in Zoe life that you'll find that. We also know that the Holy Spirit has its place in this equation, if I may say so. Because the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of life. And that life is Zoe life. And so we journey with, we get to know the person of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, is the Spirit of life, and it's that Zoe life that we all need. We are triune beings, in other words, body, soul, and spirit, but it is in our spirit where we find that contentment. True identity, I believe, and the true call of God in every season of our life. And I hope that you stand still. I hope that, like I often need to do, that you raw and honest with yourself, with the Lord, and people you trust. And that you do the math to see if you really are alive. And so today we're going to move on from that place, because we want to be a people of Zoe life, and we already know, and I'm sure you are saying, yes, I need that. I might have everything under the sun materially, everything there to the pleasure of my soul, but yet I'm so unfulfilled and uncontent. I'm still so bone dry. And then this, I believe, is where we can stand still. As I said, do the math and just invite the Lord into our lives yet again, that we can be a people that truly live in and for Christ by the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit. And so we already know that we want it. We already know why we want it. We want to be safe, secure, and we also want to be satisfied. And so now we know the why. But that's sometimes the easy part to work out. It's now chatting about the how. How do I get to connect with the Holy Spirit? How do I get to connect with the Spirit that is also the one that gives Zoe life? And how do I get the Zoe life into my life? I said recently to somebody that asked me, and I need to be honest, and I need to look at my own life firstly, but I believe as modern Christians, and if I read the Word, I don't believe we walk by the Spirit as often as we think. And so we're going to get to the flesh and the Spirit soon, but I believe we need to be honest of where we're at, and if we are truly walking by the Spirit of God. And then we need to ask ourselves, how do we do that? How do we walk by the Spirit so that we can walk in that fulfilling Zoe life that the Lord has for us? And so in this week, in preparation and just mulling over and thinking, what does the Lord want to teach us through His Word about the person of the Holy Spirit? I was mulling over, how are we going to package, how are we going to shape, how are we going to share the how to learn and get to know the person of the Holy Spirit, the how to get the Zoe life flowing in my life. And I got a call from him, Johan, but I'd missed the call, and he phoned me again a day later, and he just shared with me a quick dream. And now you will learn shortly, and we'll learn together about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit operates. But in that moment, I just realized it's a God moment. And Mian shared this dream he had about myself and him, saying that we were at a camp and we were chatting. And all of a sudden, I just looked up and I looked him straight in the eye and I said to him, "Verhoudings." That's Afrikaans word for relationships. And he said he woke up and it was just so clear. And he had to share that with me. And he said it was a positive moment that really just struck a chord in his heart. And what I realized is that the Lord wanted to say something to me about today. It was maybe a word of knowledge in saying that the how gets answered through relationships. The how of Zoe life, the how of getting hold of drinking, of getting to the wells and the wellsprings of God-like life, lies within verhoudings, relationships. And a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. A relationship with the Holy Spirit that is called the Spirit of life. The Spirit of Zoe life. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Relationship, relationship, relationship. Now, I love to post photos on social media, and often if it's ones with my family, I will say relationship is life. And I firmly believe relationship is life, and obviously it needs to be the right relationships that leads to life. God-like life, fulfilling life, satisfying life, and that is what we are after. And so it's obvious that we're going to just look at relationship and our relationship with the Holy Spirit briefly today. And now, the topic of relationship is as wide as the ocean, as the universe itself. And so it's impossible today to just package this and give you a formula. And that's definitely not the heart. So I might not give a formula. And I don't think Christ actually died to just give us a formula. But he showed us how. He showed us. He mimicked. He lived out relationship so that he can encourage us to follow suit. But as you know, with all the relationships in your life, all of the thousands and millions of relationships that we can be in, they're all so different. But principles we can share. And so today I want to share biblical principles about relationships, and especially a relationship with the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk in that Zoe life that we need. So by now we know the following about the person of the Holy Spirit. And let's just quickly recap, because I would love us just to, as I said, grow together. We might take small steps now and again. We might repeat things, but we need this to be solidified, because this is a big foundation of all of our life. And we want to be a people of Zoe life, content in the Lord, following him wholeheartedly in both identity and calling. And so we know by now that Christ said, "It is good that I go away, for if I go, the Father will give you the Holy Spirit." John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And so we've received the Holy Spirit. We know that. Secondly, we know who has the Holy Spirit. You, who believe in Jesus. John 7:39 says, "Those who believe in Christ will receive the Holy Spirit." Not only do you have the Holy Spirit, but he's where? He's all around, but he's also in you, manifesting the kingdom, the word of God, the will of God on our inside, dwelling with us, Emmanuel. It's good news. Be encouraged. John 14:16-17. "And I will pray that the Father, to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that you may abide, he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." And so that's important to remember, because you are perceiving spiritual things by the grace of the Holy Spirit in you. But you might speak to people and they have no idea what you're talking about, and it sounds like gibberish. You might even be listening to this and thinking, "Well, I don't understand." Invite Christ in. Make him Lord of your life. And as you do that, you receive the Spirit. It's like having a cell phone without a SIM card. It's just a glorified camera if it doesn't have a SIM card. And so when you have a SIM card, connection can come. And so you can use it for its absolute true function. And likewise, we need the Spirit to make connection and to also understand these things of the Spirit. Reading on there in John 14. "Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So he was sent. We have him as believers, and he is in us. He is in us. And we need to believe that and trust that. And we see the working of that in our life. And now, who is this person of the Holy Spirit? We looked at his character. We're looking to the word. We're looking to the names of the Holy Spirit. Just telling us who he is and what we can bank on, what we can believe. And amongst others, we said to each other, he's the Spirit of life, Zoe life, God-like life. He is the one that is the wellspring and will be the wellspring of life in you and me. And so from Romans 8, we remember that, we take it home and say, "I've got the life-giving Spirit of God in me. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of me." No excuse. Life is in you. The well is in you. That buckets and buckets and buckets of living waters right there in you. But now we want to know how. How do I get this water flowing? How do I get this water to satisfy? How do I get this water to fulfill my life? And so we're looking at a couple of principles around relationship and the relationship with the Holy Spirit today. Because we know from the millions and millions and billions of relationships out there, none of them are exactly the same, but there's good principles to make relationships work. And then unfortunately, there's horrid principles, or the lack thereof, that means the end or destruction of relationships. And so we're just going to look at a couple of things that I believe is important for us to grow in our relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit to inevitably have the Zoe life. First one is we need to acknowledge our need and we need to make a choice. We need our will to choose choice upon choice upon choice after firstly humbling ourselves and saying, I need the helper. I need the counselor to counsel me. I need the advocate to come and fight for me. I need the spirit of truth to lead me in truth. I can't do it on my own. I need that refiner's fire. And then I need the empowerment, the anointing, which we'll touch on later, to come and empower me for the things that the Lord has called me to do. So that acknowledgement through our will is so important. And I don't know where you are, but I constantly need to choose over and over and over again. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of the Lord. And so if Christ is Lord of my life, I need to take and receive the Lordship of His Spirit in my life often. Otherwise, I would like to take the lead. I have no problem leading, but I've not been called to lead. I'm in a kingdom now, and I need to trust that the Lord wants to lead me. And so I need to be humble and acknowledge I'm dead without Christ. I'm dead without His Spirit. I'm totally and utterly lost. I'm such a broken man. And those close to me know that. I've got so much brokenness if it is not for the grace of Christ. If it is not for His anointing upon my life and the help of the Helper. God gave us the Helper not as a nice to have. It's not an accessory that's in the cupboard that you just grab now and again. An apron you put on when you braai. He's not a nice pair of shoes. He's life in itself, the Spirit of life. And to be honest, you can't do Christianity without the Spirit. You can't do ministry. You can't be church without the Spirit of God. And so we need to acknowledge that. Because He's also a gentle Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit is gentle. He doesn't kick down the door and just barge in. He's gentle and He waits upon your will, upon your decision, upon your invitation. Time and time and again, like a good friend. Like a very good friend. I believe we can learn a lot about the Holy Spirit and this acknowledgement from our children. And so Christ said, but Jesus called the children in Luke 18:16 to Him and said, let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And I believe we can take this principle to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to be childlike. I can lead my children, well, most of the time. I need to help them sometimes. But I lead them because they're willing to be led. They're willing to ask questions, to learn. They're like clay set in love. And likewise, we need to be clay-like before the Lord, childlike, in acknowledgement that we need the help of the Lord and the help of His Spirit in our life. So that's the first thing. The other principles I want to take from a piece of scripture in John 6. So I want us to read John 6. Please go and read it. We don't have time to stand still. We have dealt with and worked through it before. But it's a beautiful place where Christ just says to His followers, hey, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you can't have a part of Me. I am the bread of life. I am life. And so He sits them down and he teaches them this. And they're like, what did He just say? And so we're going to take it further in verse 60. Therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Remember context, we're thinking person of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of life. And so you'll see shortly why I'm referring to this. Verse 61. When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples complained about this, He said to them, does this offend you? Who's ever been offended by Christ? If you truly follow the Lord, it's going to offend your flesh. It's going to offend your natural man often. But the beauty is that He has life and your best always at hand. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where He was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray Him. And He said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to Me unless it has been granted to him by My Father. From that time, many disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, the others, they were still there standing around, thinking, what did he just say? And he said to them, do you also want to go away? How strange. So he says these amazing deep spiritual things. Many, according to history, 50 plus walked away, said, this is too hard, we're walking off. Christ, don't stop them. He turns to the 12, and we've shared this before, but he turns to the 12 and say, hey, do you guys also want to go? And so it is very strange to build relationship in such a way, but he knew what was true life. And likewise, I will be challenged by the Spirit of life. You will be challenged in your Christianity to make these tough decisions. 68. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so it's an interesting piece of scripture. It's lovely. It's beautiful. If you have the Spirit and you are spiritually minded, you can say, I see it now. But it's beautiful how Jesus, not on purpose offends, but he's honest and truthful and said, this is real life. 50 plus leave. He says to the other 12, you want to go? And then Simon Peter beautifully says, I've got nowhere else to go. I've got nowhere else to go. Not a woe is me, not a victim vibe, but the reality that you are life. There's a million places. Obviously, he could have gone somewhere else. He could have gone fishing, could have gone home, he could have gone off to marry, or whatever the case may be. He could have gone to the game, he could have gone to the shop, could have gone out for a coffee. But yet he knew if he wanted real life, there was nowhere else to go. And I want to say that that is the same with the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can I come to that place of acknowledgement that if I want real life, there's nowhere else to go. There's no other friendship, no other relationship, no job, no car, no this, that, or the other. Nothing that I can drink from that can really give me life. I've got nowhere else to go. You are life. I want you. I want to follow you. Please lead me. And so we're talking about principles about the relationship that we can have with the Holy Spirit. And secondly, we said firstly, acknowledge and choose. Secondly, it needs to be Christ-centered. My relationship with the Holy Spirit needs to be Christ-centered. And so concerning Christ-centeredness in our life and Christ-centeredness in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, Simon Peter gives us a beautiful key with this principle. He says in verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so as we just said, he said, there's nowhere else to go. There's nothing else. You are life. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ speaking. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Simon Peter sees that. And likewise, in my relationship with the Holy Spirit, to realize that you are the life-giving Spirit. You alone can give Zoe life. Yes, you can manifest it in a good marriage. You can manifest it in beautiful family environment. You can manifest it in a godly, biblical church and ministry environment. You can come and do it when one walks in the right job and you're busy walking out your calling. The Zoe life can be found there, but the primary one and only relationship that needs to be Christ-centered, that can lead to life, is the one with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. But it needs to be Christ-like. You see, is we can easily get sidetracked by many other things, thinking that it's the Holy Spirit, if we lose sight of Jesus Christ, if we lose sight of Christ, the Messiah. And so firstly, the principle of our relationship and the growth in our relationship with the Holy Spirit is it Christ-centered? Very simple. Is the church that you attend Christ-centered? Gospel-centered? Is it about the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the way, the truth, and the life? And so that's a good principle to use when we build relationship with the Holy Spirit. Third thing, we need relational communication. Have you ever been in a relationship where there's no communication? Obviously not. Or if you have been, it didn't last long. Because we all know, it's very simple, that unless there's communication, there's no connection. Unless there's no connection, there's no relationship. And so for this relationship with the Holy Spirit, the principle of communication is so important. And we take this from our scripture reading in John 6 today. Verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So when the Holy Spirit, this is Christ speaking, but obviously He and the Holy Spirit is one. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So we know when the Holy Spirit utters, Rhema, speaks something to you, it is as if Christ, as if God is speaking into your life. And if He speaks, it is life. The communication, the connection for my relationship with the Holy Spirit is when the Lord speaks. And I have the ability to hear. And that gives life. And that life is Zoe life. So if you want to flourish in your relationship and know how to do relationship, there needs to be communication. There needs to be communication. A speaking and a hearing. Now, how do we communicate with the Holy Spirit? Now, here, obviously, it can differ from person to person. But the basics is very simply prayer and the Word. Prayer and the Word. Prayer and the Word. I want to know and I want to hear the words that are spirit and that are life. And so firstly, I get into the Word of God. Have you ever read the words on these pages, but they feel dull and they don't speak to you? There's nothing. But yet you get to another verse or you get to another chapter and all of a sudden, boom, it is like a river. Boom, it's like the water just gushes out and you're like, yes, yes, yes. Or somebody reads a part of scripture and you're like, they were talking to me. They were talking right at me into my heart. And that is when the Word is spirit and life. And you can literally eat it. And your spirit gets filled up. And you're like, yes! Because your faith gets stirred. And so the Word is important. I cannot have a relationship. Hear me out. I cannot have a relationship with God, with His Holy Spirit, if I don't read His Word. Now, sometimes, as I said, you might be reading and you grow in knowledge and then you just hit the well. You hit the place where it gets ramed, where it gets highlighted, illuminated, where it jumps off the page and you just know that God is speaking to you. And those are the words that are spirit and they are Zoe life. Those are the ones that stirs faith. Those are the ones that just stirs you again and restores hope. And we need them. We need them. This morning even, in preparing, it's not always easy. It's a battle to prepare and it's a battle to be ready. I had to wait and say, Lord, speak to me. There's a couple of things in my heart and a couple of things that I need to work through, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Speak to me. And then, boom, one psalm, He just clearly spoke to me. And then another psalm, just highlighted by the Holy Spirit, just speaks to me. And it was as if I can drink again that living waters that sustains and fulfills me. And I can move on by faith. And so that is a simple way to how grow in your relationship. You pray, you ask, and you get into the Word. You pray, you ask, and you get into the Word. And so we sometimes fall short. We don't mine until we hit the gold. We don't dig deep until we find the water. And so like in any relationship, you can chat and chat and chat and chat. And sometimes you can chat. You can just connect with someone. And you're like, whoa, that was so amazing. That coffee was just so amazing because there was a connection. And likewise, you can play religion and you can tick the boxes. Or you can dig. You can mine, you can wait until you hit the well where you know that was Zoe life. There was a connection with the Holy Spirit. There was a true connection. And so the principle of relational communication and then hearing the words of the Spirit, hearing the words of Christ, hearing the words of God is so important. But we need to wait. We need to dig. We need to knock. And I would like you to do that. Be encouraged to do that. And then the fourth principle of building a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, because we want to know how and we want to see the fruit of life, real Zoe life in our lives. The fourth principle is, and I think we've alluded to this, is the following. I just wrote down here, it's all or nothing. It's not either or. It's all or nothing. It's not either or. In other words, you need to give your whole life to this relationship. You need to let the Holy Spirit also into the whole of your life. How are we called to love God? Yes, with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. And likewise, with the Holy Spirit, I believe the Lord wants us to give our all. It's an all or nothing relationship. It is a lordship relationship. It's a following. But the fruit of that is amazing. The tasting and the encounters of that is amazing. And it leads you to fulfillment, healing, redemption, identity, and truth. But it comes at the cost of being not an either or, but an absolutely all or nothing type of relationship. Now, in saying that, please hear me not say that there's not grace. There is grace to make mistakes. There is grace to grow in salvation, to grow in sanctification. There is grace to grow in this relationship. But I believe God wants your all. And when it comes to the person of the Holy Spirit, He wants your all and all of you and all of your life in this relationship. And that's maybe sometimes a tough one. Like in John 6, where the disciples have said, well, this is a bit too tough. I can't. Maybe some of us are sometimes challenged by that. Maybe that is too tough. But that is what we've been called. That is why we are laying down our lives. That is why we pick up our cross, where we forsake ourselves, crucify the flesh, and follow Him wholeheartedly. And that is where Zoe life and the wellsprings of Zoe life will be. For the word here says the following, and I love this verse. Not always easy to live, need a lot of grace, but I love this verse. Verse 63. It is, I believe, what everything is just revolving around today. It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that gives life, Zoe life. The flesh profits nothing. Or other translation says the flesh doesn't help at all. Let's look at the NIV. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The flesh counts for nothing, guys. The Spirit alone gives life. This is the truth of God. This is the Word of God. If we like it or not, all or nothing, the Spirit gives life. That hobby, in and of itself, without Christ, cannot give life. Spouse, children, brilliant career, lots of money, whatever it is you're dreaming of, without Zoe life, without the Spirit, cannot sustain. It counts for nothing. It counts for nothing. It counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. The message says the following. The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower, I want to say soul and will and your own humanity, don't make anything happen. Every word I've spoken to you is Spirit word, and it is life-making. We need the life-making Spirit to speak to us. We need the life-making Spirit to be with us and to touch, infuse, permeate every single facet, every single relationship, every single thing in our lives. To walk in our true identity, walk in our true call, and to give life to others, to share what we've been given. Once we receive the bread of life, Zoe bread life of Christ, and as we have that, I believe we then tear a piece off and we start handing it out. We start handing out life, because life can never only be kept for ourselves, and then we start handing it out. But it's an all or nothing thing. And maybe you're challenged again in the season. Maybe through this pandemic and where everything gets shaken and question marks hangs in the air, we can come back to a place where we can wholeheartedly again say, yes, Jesus, yes, Holy Spirit, all or nothing, lead me in this. For the Spirit alone can lead to life. The flesh profits nothing. We want Zoe life. And so we need to then discern between what is flesh and what is spirit, and be honest. Now, what is the flesh? Just the flesh is simply put, not only my body. The flesh is, I want to say, the ego, the I, the selfish nature of man, where we do things on our own and for ourselves without God. That is the flesh. And we know what Galatians says about the fruit of the flesh. It's not good. It's stench. It's gross. And we all have seen in our sinful brokenness what that means in our lives. And so John Piper actually says the flesh is the ego. I want to say the self or the I, which feels an emptiness and uses the resources in its own power to try to fill it. Flesh is the I who tries to satisfy me with anything but God's mercy. I want to say His grace and His spirit. So it's where I try to satisfy myself within the resources I can get through my own power and own means without God. That is the flesh. And so there's constantly, as we read the word, a battle between the flesh and the spirit. But we know, John 6:63 says, the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. You cannot produce life in and of yourself. You cannot produce life in and of yourself, but the spirit can in you. Good news, He is in you, but we need to choose. Humble ourselves, build this relationship, say yes, 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 a million times a day. Come on, let's have life. And then as we start bubbling over, we start sharing this real life, this spiritual life with others. Galatians 5:16-18 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we need to be led by the Spirit because it produces life, and not the flesh, the I, the ego, the self. That produces death. And so to walk by the Spirit is very simply, it is to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's to the Holy Spirit to take lead and not myself. And then also to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to get to that at a later stage in our series. And so the flesh doesn't profit, but the Spirit gives life. And we need to fight that battle. Galatians 5:24 says that you need to crucify the flesh. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So there's a part of you that you lay down. You pick up your cross and say, I choose the Spirit. I want to build this relationship. But this relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Christ, comes at the cost of the self, the I, the ego, the way of the world. And so it's not always easy, but it's brilliant because it will lead to life. And then lastly, the last principles, I believe, that just forms part of this journey of growing in relationship with the Holy Spirit and knowing how to do it. And we're going to stand still in our small groups upon practical ways in which you daily grow in this relationship. But I believe these three things are also important. You need to ask, you need to pay attention, and you need to give airtime. So it's three A's, easy to remember. Ask, give attention, and give enough airtime to this relationship. John 4:10, we read last week, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters. And so very simply ask Jesus, say, Jesus, I acknowledge. Jesus, you're Christ-centered in my relationship. I know it's an all or nothing affair. Please come and take again my life. I'm willing to be led. In this battle between the flesh and the spirit, I choose the spirit because that alone gives life. And now I ask. I want the fullness of this relationship. Help me. That is how. Help me daily. Help me daily personally for me to build this relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then you pay attention. We can pay attention to a lot of things in life daily. But we need to maybe wean ourselves off a couple of other things and then trust the Lord to pay attention. Make a priority this relationship with the Lord. Not just tick a box, quickly 10 minutes devotion this morning and run off. And then quickly Wednesday and then quickly Sunday and then expect this relationship to flourish. No, we need to give it attention. We need to give it our all. We need to give it our heart. And we need to give it that airtime. We need to be sensitive, I believe, to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Where is the Holy Spirit and what is He doing at the moment? You know, it's so beautifully, and we touched on this many times before, but Christ only did what He saw the Father doing and only said what He heard the Father saying when walking on this earth. And so that absolute dependence, that sensitivity towards God, is exactly how we can build this relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's to be sensitive. What is the Holy Spirit doing? What is He saying? And when we partner with that, when we partner with Him in doing these things, life will bubble from it. Life will be in it. And the fruit of the Spirit will be seen in my life. Full contentment, full security, and full safety. Now, just briefly, a beautiful picture of this is in the Old Testament. Israel, obviously going through the desert on their way to the promised land. They've been saved and redeemed out of Egypt. And this is a picture of many of our lives. But then the Lord says to Moses, you put up camp and you guys camp down. And we know that by night there was a pillar of fire, God's presence, and by day a cloud that actually protected them. But clearly God was with them. And then they only moved again when the presence of God started to move. And so become sensitive to His presence. Let's become sensitive to His presence. In a good relationship, you're sensitive towards the communication and the presence of the other person. And so likewise, with the person of the Holy Spirit, are you sensitive, attentive to where the Spirit is and what the Spirit is doing? Obviously, the Spirit is in you, yes, but sometimes He needs to move you to love on someone, to give them a cup of water, to bless them, to pray for them, to share a scripture with them, to sit, to rest, to have a Sabbath, to eat, to have fellowship. And so it is in that dance, it is in doing life and becoming more sensitive. Where's the cloud? Where's the fire pillar? Is He moving or is He camping? Is He staying? And so we get to know and move with the Holy Spirit as we are sensitive. That's a beautiful principle I believe we can follow. Numbers 9:16 says, it remained that way continually. The cloud would cover the tabernacle by day, and at night it would appear like fire. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tent, the Israelites would set out, and wherever the cloud settled, there the Israelites would camp. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at the Lord's command, they camped. As long as the cloud remained over the tabernacle, they remained encamped. And now you can beautifully use this. Ask the Lord, Lord, is Your presence in that friendship of mine? Is Your presence in that relationship I'm in? Lord, is Your presence the fire and the cloud? Is it in the job that I'm currently doing? Is it in the way that I'm treating my kids? Is it in the way that I'm dealing with social media or my finance? Is Your presence, is the Holy Spirit encamping with me when I do that? Is there Zoe life? And I know this is maybe a bit... But seems a bit far out. But as we daily commune, as we daily ask, pray, get into the Word, and be sensitive, ask, and give that time, we grow in this relationship. We grow in this relationship. We hear the voice. It stirs our faith. We move with the Lord. And we become the full version of who we are called to be, not only for ourselves, but for everybody around us, to be life giving people, to be wells not only upon ourselves and our families, but to be wells in a community, wells in our church, wells in our employment, wells in this country. We've been called through relationship with the Holy Spirit to be that Zoe life wells. I pray that these principles will really stir something in your heart, and the Holy Spirit will again help you to grow in this relationship with Him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for today. Thank You for the grace of Christ and the fact that You've given us Your Spirit as a helper. Not as just a nice to have, but as an absolute necessity. A person, the Parakletos, the helper, the Arabon, to come alongside us, to come in us and help us to do life. Lord, will You touch every heart that listens to this message? Holy Spirit, will You speak to them personally? Will You show them what principles are applicable to them? Will You speak through the Word of God to them so that each and every one of us can walk in our full identities and full call because of our relationship with the One that matters, the Holy Spirit. Will you please come and stir that in our lives? Lord, I pray that nobody will turn away and say, this is too much. I pray that we will acknowledge need, that we will be Christ-centered, that we will know that it's all or nothing, but we know that life will stem forth from it. And that we'll build the sensitivity, that we'll daily pay attention, and that there'll be more than enough time that we can grow and grow and grow in this relationship with you. In Jesus' name. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, I just sense that there's people that need prayer. And so please contact me, any of the small group leaders, any of the elders, and let's pray with you. If there's something that bugs you or something that you know you need to lay down, and there's maybe an all or nothing call for this relationship, give me a call, send me a WhatsApp. Let's pray so that we can be the people that know the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, and that we will be those wellsprings of life, not only for us, but also through us, for many others. May you guys have a stunning week. We chat in the week, and we see each other next week. God bless. Bye.